Happy Sabbath, everybody. I know we go to the same church, but I don't get to worship with you except for a special occasion. So this is really a privilege and an honor and a joy to be with you this morning. But you know that even though we don't worship every morning, every Sabbath together, you, the youth group, is always in our prayer. Every Wednesday night, we have a woman prayer group. And all the leadership for the young people are named, and all the members are, we pray for you every Wednesday night. So just because, you know, we have different, don't get to worship together, doesn't mean you are not in our heart. Okay, so thank you for being here this morning. The title of my sharing this morning is Who is Christ to Me? And I thought about this. Have you ever wondered how it would be to be a disciple of Christ when he was here on this earth? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. And sometimes I wish, I know it's hard. I know Samuel just came back from Kenya and in Israel, that time is probably even more primitive than Kenya now. And sometimes I wonder at times, and I wish at times that I could be one of the 12 disciples. I know there were women back there who followed Christ from day to day, Mary, people that followed Christ. It's been shown, well, I guess statistics show that, not statistic, but when they research, they show that most of Christ's disciples was 18 to their early 20s when they followed Christ. Okay, so I know that applied to a lot of you, 17, 18, 20. When you think of the disciple, you think, you know, they're old people trying to follow Christ, but they actually are late teenager and early in their early 20s when they became disciples of Christ. And when we read story in the Bible, I always wonder, it's like when you read in Matthew chapter 4, when Christ called Peter and Andrew, was written in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, Christ said, "Follow me and I will make you fisher of men." And it written in the Bible, they immediately followed Jesus, right? And again, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 22, when Christ called James and John, it's written that they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. And sometimes I wonder, how is that possible? How is that they just pick up and they just left their family, left their livelihood and just follow Jesus? And do you wonder if they kind of like foolish? Sometimes you think they blindly follow Jesus. Are they too hasty? Maybe. I thought, sometimes when I read it, I thought, well, God, these people, I don't know, their faith must be really big, or they just have nothing better to do than just to pick up and follow Christ like that, right? Or they don't really love their family. But there's a story in the Bible that I want us to spend some time this morning about the calling of Nathanael. Let's open our Bible in John chapter 1, verse 45 to 51. John chapter 1. Verse 45 to 51. You got ready? Okay. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip answered, said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under a fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Before I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, thereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the man, the Son of Man." That's the story we're going to spend a lot of time this morning to study about. So when you read the story, at first I thought, wow, Christ just said to Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree," and he immediately said, "You are the Son of God." Was he as blind as the other disciple? Did he just really just believe that quickly? So let's take a little bit of time to study this morning, okay? Why can he utter those words so when Christ said he sit in the fig tree? But we found that when Philip came to Nathanael, what was his first reaction? What do you say? Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? Right? Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? Why did he say that? In our mind, what is Nazareth to us now? Huh? That's where Jesus lived, and we adore Nazareth, right? But why did Nathanael say that about Nazareth? Well, you know that Nazareth is a very small village with a lot of poor people. Not only were they poor, they have a lot of mean people. They have a lot of gangster, like in our day. So Nazareth was not known to be a big city, a nice place to grow up on. So I live in LA, and when we say you go to a certain part of LA, you know that you have to be careful, right? You know that, you know, there's things in the news, that drive-by shooting, robbery, and even I wouldn't walk along the certain street of LA, or if you drive by, it's like, oh, is my car locked, right? The same thing of Nazareth. Back then, it's like, not so good, okay? So that's why Nathanael was saying, why? Is there anything good? He's not talking about just material things, but he said, is there any good man that can come out of Nazareth? Another reason why Nathanael asked is that people at that time were expecting a Messiah. And in their mind, a Messiah had to come from a good family, a well-educated, maybe somebody who lived in Jerusalem, who's really, you know, not maybe well off, right? So they were expecting not somebody from Nazareth, and that's why he said that. And we know that Christ was here on earth. He was poor in material things. So one of the person came and wanted to follow him, and what did he say? He said, and this one scribe came to him and said, "You know, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Christ answered, "Foxes have holes, and the birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head." He was not known to be rich. So Nathanael was, at that point, was like, he was doubting, right? In fact, Mrs. Wright wrote in Desire of Ages that when Nathanael saw Jesus from afar, he was disappointed. He was not impressed with what he saw, what of whom he saw, because Christ was poor. Christ was not, like in the Bible, we know in Isaiah, Christ was not handsome. He was just an ordinary man. So Nathanael's like, really, this is the son? So he was not impressed at all. But often, you know, like for us, we look at the outside, right? By our human eye, we are very much like Nathaniel. Now let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Anybody have it? Can you read it for me, please?
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts.
For his thought is not our thought, and his way is not our way. And sometimes we expect Christ to do certain thing. We expect him to be a certain way, just like Nathaniel did, look a certain way, be from a certain family, but God's thought is not our thought. Even though Nathaniel doubted who Christ is, in our daily life, I think, you know, the longer we live, the longer we're in church, sometimes we also have doubt, right? Or some of you have not come to Christ and have not accepted Christ as your Savior. Sometimes you have doubt. You said, is Christ really who he is, who he say he is? Is God really that powerful? You know, am I given all this? Is heaven really real? How do I know it's real? Because I haven't seen it, right? So sometimes people doubt because they don't see, they expect from what we see in this world. But God always gives us opportunity and time to learn and to seek about him. We may hide our doubt in our heart so others may not know. Some of us have been going to church for a while. Some of you are leader in the church, you're on the church board. And sometimes we don't want to say anything that can show that we have doubt. But Christ knows our heart. There's a saying in Vietnamese that say, "Giờ sông giờ núi dễ dò nhưng ai lấy thước mà đo lòng người." So I translate it like, it's easy to measure the lake and the oceans, but no one can take a measuring tape and measure your heart. Okay? But that only applies to men, right? That only applies to men because God knows what's deep in our heart already. Sometimes we try and hide things. We think nobody knows. Maybe God don't even know, but like we read in the Bible, God knows what is in our heart. So there's nothing, there's no use of hiding from him. And he, one of the things that King David uttered in the word, in Psalms, chapter 139, verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up." He really know us. He know our heart. And when he knows, sometimes we're afraid that, you know, if I don't confront my doubt or I don't confess it, if I confess it, maybe God will be mad at me. But what happened when Nathaniel say his doubt? What did, go back to John chapter 1. When he said, "Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth?" What did Jesus say when he saw Nathanael? Chapter 1, verse 47. What did he say? "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." No guile is what? no pretense, right? So actually, Christ was complimenting Nathanael for being honest, being truthful with him. So Jesus did not become upset like we do. You know, when I say something and I heard that people doubt me, I become very angry, right? You get irritated. You're like, you know, I said and you don't believe. I can't believe you said, you know, you don't believe me. But our God is really, really a patient God. He said, you know, it's okay. It's okay to doubt me, and I will show myself to you. Right? He didn't say, he didn't get angry. He actually complimented him. Let's open our Bible to Psalm. One of you can read Psalm chapter 86, verse 15. Psalm chapter 86, verse 15. Everybody?
But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and grace, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth.
When we know about God, he is long-suffering. He's compassionate. He's gracious. We don't have to be fearful. When we have questions, we don't have to be fearful, right? Because he will not be angry like one of us. And he always allow us to make choices. He always allow us to make choices. If you read from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, Christ never forced anybody to follow him. Even though he know the outcome, like, you know, everybody know about Adam and Eve and how they make the wrong choices. And people always ask, you know, why did God create Adam and Eve if he know that they're going to betray him, if they're going to not follow him? Because God want us to have choices, right? And that was distinguished us from animal. And that's why God created us, for us to choose him, to be with him. So when Christ said, behold in Israel, indeed, in whom there's no God, Nathanael then asked, how do you know me? How do you know me? He said, before you come, I saw you under the fig tree. Why? What was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? What do you think? Hiding from what?
He's skeptical. Not sure yet.
Yeah. Why would people sit under the fig tree? Okay, so in the old days, when people live, just we're not talking about the rich people, we're talking about normal people, the house have only one room, okay? And when I read about this, just to research, I remember when I was growing up in Vietnam, our house only have one room. Right in the middle of the house is the stove, the wood stove. Over here is the bed. Over here is the table where we study. So in the same, in Jesus' time, the house only had one room and was shared by a lot of people. So it's noisy. There's no privacy. So when you want privacy, when you have quiet time, you go outside the house. You study under the trees. You think of Jesus, when he was here, he normally take his disciple where? Up to the hill, to the river, to the lake, to desert places, so have quiet time. So that's what Nathanael was doing, sitting under the fig tree. He and his friend, Philip, calmly sit under the fig tree And they hide under the leaves, so it's cooler, right? Because in the desert, it's hot. So they hide under the fig tree. They would study together, and they would pray together. How do we know that? If we go back to verse 45, it said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." So it showed that they study, and they were seeking for the Messiah. They didn't just blindly follow him, right? They really study and they really seeking to see to find Jesus. So when Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree," Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And it reminds me of a Bible verse in Psalm chapter 139, verse 4. Anybody have Psalm chapter 139, verse 4? If you can read it out loud, please. It said, "For there's not a word in my tongue." Before we even utter the word in our tongue, but the Lord already knows it, right? So Christ already knows Nathanael's heart. He knows that he was searching for him, sitting under the fig tree, right? And what was Nathanael's response? Did he say, "Let me go home. Let me think about this. Let me see if you truly the Christ"? What did he say? "You are the Christ," right? "You are the Son of God." And he was not ashamed to say it publicly. Was Nathanael and him by himself? No, there was other disciples around him, right? Sometimes we accept Christ and we want it to be private. We don't want anybody to know about it. But Nathanael was very public about his declaration of who Christ is. Did you know that Nathanael is the first disciple who declared who Christ is? Okay. So when we read in the Bible in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, when Christ asked the disciple, "But who are the men saying who I am?" The disciple answered, "Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Christ asked, "But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And that's when Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of living God." But remember, Peter declared this after he'd been following Jesus for a while, right? He maybe have seen many miracles. He already seen Christ raised the dead. He's already feed the 5,000. But Nathanael hasn't seen any of this, right? This is just the beginning of Christ's ministry. He has not seen any miracle, and he already believed that Christ is the Son of God. So Nathanael didn't hesitate, right? And another thing that Nathanael did that he designed for his own, right? First, he publicly declared, he didn't hesitate, and he designed for his own to follow Jesus. He was a doubter, yes, but when he found the truth, he designed for his own. In Desire of Ages, page 140, and Mrs. Wright wrote, "If Nathanael had trusted to the rabbis for guidance, he would never have found Jesus. It was by seeing and judging for himself that he became a disciple." So in the case of many today whom prejudice withhold from good, how different would it be the result if they would come and see? So you have to come and see for yourself, right? He decided for his own. If we listen to the pastor, if we listen to other people, but really don't know who Christ is, then we're not really, we truly don't know Christ. We have to find him for ourselves. And when Nathanael confessed, what did Christ say? Let's go back to our Bible again. And Jesus answered in verse 50 of John chapter 1. Behold, I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you thereafter, you shall see heaven open, the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That was a promise. That's a promise to Nathanael, and not only to Nathanael, but the people who standing around to the disciple. Actually, in Vietnamese, I don't know how they translate it, but they send, and he turned around and said to the other disciple, you know, you will see greater things than this, not only to Nathanael, but he also saying that to us today, if you believe me, you will see greater things than this. One thing, as we study the Bible, that came to my mind, because we have to be really careful in terms of understanding in our own way. I share a story because somebody, you know, we in the Vietnamese service, we are in the journey of reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a year. Right, so now we're up to Proverbs, and sometimes people say, "Oh, you know, I read it already, or I finished. I don't need to study anymore." Or sometimes people we're doing Friday night Bible study on the Book of John, and one of the members said, "Oh, you know, I did study John already, so I don't need to do it again." Is that true? No. And sometimes we put our own understanding above the words of God. There's many things in the Bible that people always question. The thing is, like, you know, did God really create the world in 6 days, right? And you see that, you know, even our church members, some have left the church because they believe in science better than the word of God. Higher than the word of God. And I'm going to share a kind of a personal story. When I was young, like many of you, I go to wedding, and they always use, the pastor like to use Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. What did it say? Wife, submit to your husband. And I hated that. I really hated that. I was like, come on, that's old Bible. You know, I was like, how you say submit? I mean, we equal. I really did not say, I can't believe the Bible say that. Because submit to me at that point have a different view. I have a different view. Until Mrs. Lee came and she said, submit is to show respect, to adore, and to raise a man up. Because if a wife don't do that to a husband, he will seek that adoration elsewhere. So submit doesn't mean that, you know, you lower. Submit means you adore, and you and now it's okay. Right? Because I put my mindset above the Bible, because I said, you know, it can't be. Right? So as we study the Bible, we have to search. We have to know what the meaning is. And don't ever put ourselves above the teaching of God. Because many things we don't still understand, many things we have to search. So to be like Nathanael, we have to study the Bible. And we have to pray. We know that Nathanael and his friend Philip pray a lot, looking for the Messiah. I know some of us are here at church, Some of you are here because you truly believe. Some of us are here because of friends. And I used to, I admit it, when I was young going to church, I go to church because I have friends. Okay, it was fun. But some of us are here because our parents made us, right? And I think Betty Ian can attest to that. When she was younger, Mom, get up, go to church, right? So, but any of those reasons will not help us accept who Christ is unless we study for ourselves, right? And I know some of us have been baptized and we confess who Christ is in our life once. But I challenge you that you have to confess Christ, who is Christ in your life every day. Every morning when you get up, you have to attest who is Christ in your life today. Why? By confessing him as the Lord of Lords, we will conquer our fear, our doubt. Hardship will come. Hardship will come into our life. We confess who he is, then he will lead us through all the trouble, and we have nothing to fear. When we follow Christ, we need to be faithful like Nathanael unto the end. You know that Nathanael was only mentioned twice in the Bible. One is the story that we just read, and one at the end of the book of John. If you open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 21, this is the story about breakfast by the sea. So after Christ resurrected, the disciple was kind of disappointed. Some of them said, oh, you know what? We don't know what to do now. We're just going to go fishing, right? So some of the disciples decided to go fishing all night long. They didn't catch a single fish. So early in the morning, the boat was coming in, and they saw a man. At that point, they didn't recognize it was Christ. So they saw a man up there, and he said, you know, did you catch anything? And they said, no, not a thing. So Christ said, okay, put that a net. And they put down the net, and there were so many fish. And at that point, Peter recognized it was Christ, and he jumped off the boat, and he walked up. And up on the shore, Christ already had fish from somewhere. He's already grilling it and waiting for the disciple to have their breakfast. And Nathanael was one mentioned in chapter 21. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples was there. So Nathanael was faithful. He didn't give up. He didn't go back. But he was hanging out with the disciple, waiting for Jesus. So just like Nathanael, we need to be faithful until Christ comes back to take us with him. So my challenge to you this morning is that study. Know who Christ is for your own personal life. Not just because of the church, not just because the pastor, not because of your family, but you truly have to know who is Christ, because he's going to say, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Right? And we need to say who he is to us. So may God bless you as you walk with him daily in your daily life. Amen.